If you had a choice of choosing one of these two options, what would you decide? Whether or not someone else that was a criminal guilty of very serious crimes that affected a large population and the death sentence was the normal sentence for those crimes that were committed. But if you focused on that, you would be enslaving yourself. That's number one. Number two, you would be able to have freedom instead of being enslaved, but you would have to forget about whether or not the criminal was going to be found guilty and given a death sentence. You would have to forget about it. Don't even check the news. Don't listen to anybody that tries to tell you what the status is. You would have to totally block it out of your schedule and become so involved in working for your own freedom that you would not give it another thought. Those are your two choices. What would you choose? Following someone else's potential death, but being enslaved yourself, or forgetting all about the other person and having freedom yourself? That's your choice, one or the other. Let's begin by looking at the introductory quotes to Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. One, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Two, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Three, oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Reviewing the title of this recording with the choice that Mary Baker Eddy made to introduce science and health to the world, how do those three quotes apply to the title of this recording? Well, if we're going to look for the truth, that doesn't sound to me like that has anything to do with enslavement or death. No matter who the subject is, whether it's myself or someone else, can we be set free if we're going to be focusing on someone else's death or someone else's enslavement or our own enslavement? Does that give us freedom, any one of those three options? No. How about Shakespeare's quote? Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. If we're thinking about the death of someone else, is that good or bad? I'm not seeing any way to look at that as being good, because we are talking about a topic that is the opposite of life. God is life. God is good. God is life and God is good, therefore life is good. Is enslavement good or bad? I don't see anything good at all in enslavement, whether it's an individual that we know of, whether it's the person that we see when we look in the mirror, or whether it's someone that is a hardened criminal. Is the death of that hardened criminal our business? Or is our consciousness our business? It's either one or the other. Can't be both. Is someone else's consciousness our business? Assuming we're not being hired as a practitioner for them, the answer is no. Someone else's consciousness is not our business. Since our experience is based on our own consciousness, what do we want our consciousness to be holding in the way of thoughts or motive? What do we want to have for speech or action? Do we want thought, speech, and actions to be focusing on enslavement or freedom? Death or life? Good or evil? Progress or regression? How about our prayer? Mary Baker Eddy says, God heard her prayers. And she was blessed. And that is God's desire for us to be blessed. And that God is omnipresent. No matter where we are, God is there. He knows what's going on because God is all-knowing. That is part of omniscience, and omniscience is part of mind. And God is the only mind. That's the real mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind. The mind that is the mind of the God, which is the great I Am. The mind of the God, which is the all-knowing, and all-seeing, and all-acting, and all-wise, and all-loving, and eternal. The mind of God, the same God, which is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That's the mind we're talking about. The mind of that God. Bicknell Young was one of the first to really make a public statement that the mind of God was his mind. He had been studying and had been a successful practitioner for many years until he actually came to the conclusion and stated it publicly, that the only mind there is the mind of God, and therefore his mind was the mind of God. Now we know that's by reflection, because God is omnipresent. It's like an internet that is accessible around the entire universe. Well, right now we don't have that functional, but let's say around entire planet Earth, assuming everybody has access to a signal. And if they have Starlink, then they have it no matter where they are, all the time. It does not depend upon any local facility. So if we have access all the time to a source, then think of that as being God as the source. We have access to the intelligence, the wisdom, and the knowing of mind all the time. The action, the power, the capacity, capability, functionality, the facility, the creative ability, all the time. So what do we want in our consciousness? How can we be blessed? The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. That sounds to me like we need to be living our prayer with every thought, speech, and action that we make. Are we living the prayer of God? Are we living the prayer of freedom? Are we living the prayer of truth? Are we living the prayer of thinking good? Like Shakespeare warns us about. Because that's what our experience is going to be. Whatever we're thinking, that's going to be our experience. Now, we do have two possible sources. One is what we are conscious of, and the other is a universal belief that we may or may not be conscious of. In other words, we have both conscious and unconscious sources that are affecting our consciousness. And we have to guard our thought against universal belief that we may not be aware of, to make sure that our thought is protected against being penetrated by universal belief that we know nothing about. When we first come out of the womb of our mother, we are not aware of the universal belief that is automatically being attached to us. That belief includes, among other things, that we're made up of matter, that our life expands into a peak and then deteriorates and becomes death. We're not aware of that when, as soon as we're born, at least under the belief of material birth, we're not aware of that at all. We have to be educated. And that education generally comes more from universal belief than any other source. We're not educated to believe that that is enslavement. But is it? Absolutely. Truth sets us free. The belief that we're going to be living a life of matter with ups and downs and ins and out and comforts and pleasures and hell and high water, all mixed up in a state of erratic deviation from what we would like to have as a standard, steady stream of progress. Yep, that is a problem. So we are educated without even knowing it. Everything we see has an influence on us. Everything someone else says that we hear has an influence on us. Everything we do, everything everyone else does that is around us and that we are involved in the experience somehow, that all has an influence on who we are, because we reflect the atmosphere of what is around us. And what is around us is largely the result of what everyone else is doing, unless we're in an isolated situation. One of the popular websites has a gentleman that's very well educated. He said that he was working on a project for about 20 years, and he was not around other people. He was isolated for about 20 years. I think I know what he was doing, because he has a program that no one else has anything like. And it accumulates data from all sources and puts out information. You ask it a question, and it'll give you an answer based on all the data of all the sources that it has, which is enormous. He has turned down $100 million for his database. We could try to isolate the database from the programming. But the point is that what database are we utilizing that makes us be submissive to enslavement or submissive to wanting the death of someone else? It's no secret that the U.S. government is full of swamp creatures. In fact, it's basically a swamp from beginning to end, top to bottom, and all the way around. Because it was allowed to grow instead of being nipped in the bud at the beginning. The progress of the swamp seemed to be so slow that nobody took notice until it got to be where it is now, which is a total crisis mode. The reason we have to decide what we want is because the way we approach life, one way, is the opposite of the way it is to bring the opposite result. If we're going to let the lie upon lie that has been fed to our subconscious over the life of whatever age we are to material sense, that's going to have an influence on all thought, speech, and action. Unless we take measured steps that counter all of that erroneous influence. If we know somebody killed someone else, and we know the difference between right and wrong, we probably want to see that person at least put in prison, if not put to death. Because they caused the death of other people. Maybe one, maybe many. But what should we be focusing on? Should we be focusing on making sure that that individual experiences death? Because if we do, that goes with us being enslaved to the belief that we are all mortals. We've forgotten all about God. On page 465, that's where the definition that I recited previously, well, one of them, that was that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And on 587, it was the second definition I quoted, which was, God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. And on that same page is the definition of good. And that says that good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omniscience is including the qualities of intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And it's not just includes the qualities, but it is omni, which means the one, only, and all intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. In other words, there is no other source. God is it, of all three of those qualities. God is spirit, which is the only substance. So think about the fact that God is flawless, because spirit is flawless, and God is all intelligence and all wisdom and all knowing. God is all capacity, all capability, all functionality, all creative ability, all action, therefore all performance, and that enables God to be omnipotent, because all the ingredients to come to the calculation that is deemed power, God is the source of all those. And if we want to measure it, then we can look to spirit, because that's the substance. If we want to make sure we see everything correctly, then we look to soul, because that is spiritual sense, not an error or erroneous material sense, but a spiritual sense. If we want to live the qualities of God, then we have to think of God as life, because that's living the qualities of God. And if we want to stay on track of where we're going, that's truth. That is dependent upon our motive, which is our consciousness. We have to be conscious of what we're doing. And we have to want to have all thought, speech, and action be from a pure motive, a motive of spirit that is flawless. Because if it's from anything less than flawless, then we have a problem. Love is the fulfillment, the completeness, the wholeness. So if we want to experience love, we have to nurture like a mother everything that is in our life to bring it to the full blooming of spiritual qualities for that particular topic. Bicknell Young, the gentleman that was mentioned earlier, by the way, he raised himself from the dead. He had drowned, and he had a conversation with himself. He said, do I want to go back, or do I want to see where this takes me, going through the experience of death? And he decided that he wanted to go back, because he said, there's more things I can do. And in fact, as I mentioned, he was the one that discovered, and first one that actually stated it publicly, that the only mind he had was the mind of God. Of course, Mary Baker Eddy knew that, because she's the one that defined what God is. And she included mind as being the very apodictical quality of God, the very first one. So she knew what was going on, obviously. But everyone else didn't catch on for many years. They read it. They repeated it. They would have it memorized. But they didn't realize what it was really saying. It's like the Lord's Prayer. Everyone of any kind of a Christian religion has stated and recited the Lord's Prayer many, many times. But if you don't recite it, you don't get the same connection to it that you do by just hearing someone read it. Because you have to do some thinking when you recite it. You have to do more, have a more serious connection with it. You can do it, but will you? You can be free, but would you rather be enslaved and make sure the other guy gets the death penalty? I mean, he could be a totally rotten person. But what are we going to put in our consciousness? Are we going to fill it with images of rotten people? How much time are we going to spend on the news to check and see if he's been put to death yet? Or maybe he's not even been arrested. Maybe they don't even know where he is. Maybe he has disappeared, hiding him somewhere. And no one that knows where he is reported him to the police or whoever is in charge of arresting him. If we wanted to take the human traits of everyone on planet Earth, we'd probably all be criminals. Are any of us walking on water? Or are we submitting to the belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in matter? Let us think about what we want to do with our consciousness. No one else can make that choice for us. We may be influenced erroneously, but we still have the right to accept or reject what that influence is trying to, how that influence is trying to impact us. Wentworth Winslow says, think about being in a room. And this was about 1950, he said it, so telephones were not real popular. He said, suppose there's a phone ringing. In fact, I think he made this statement probably around 1930 or 35. So he said, imagine there's a phone there and it's ringing its head off. And if you pick it up, it's going to tell you one thing. It's going to talk about mortal mind, matter. It's going to make suggestions of evil. It's going to make suggestions that you're not perfect. It's going to try to tell you that God is a fake. That God creates storms, fires, floods, earthquakes, and there's nothing that can be done about it. He creates accidents and takes people away at will, and they call it the providence of God. Doesn't matter whether it's an innocent child that was just born or whether it's somebody that's a hardened criminal. They say God is the one responsible. Insurance companies get right on the bandwagon and they say, well, that's an act of God, so we don't pay for that. All of mortal life is a fraud, a fantasy. Someone asked Kurt Russell, the well-known actor that's been acting since he was a small child. So he's been acting for many decades. And they ask him, how would he compare a movie to his own life? You know, a lot of people are interested in whether or not an individual acts the way they perform in a movie, or whether they're a different person than the actor that they're portraying in various parts of the movie. For example, Clint Eastwood was a rough and tough cowboy for many decades. And then he was a rough and tough cop. So they ask him if there's any difference between how he is in real life and how he is in the movie. And he said, well, a movie is fantasy land. My real life, that's my life. That's who I am. So he would be able to relate totally to the phone ring because that's a movie. That's not who he is. And I don't have any idea what his thoughts are about God, but let's say the radio, which is the other instrument in the room, was something that was announcing things about his own life. He would say, well, yeah, that's true. That's about me. But the other thing, the thing on the phone, that's just fantasy land. That's a movie. It's not me. I'm just playing a part, getting paid to entertain people. And if it's done properly, the audience gets involved mentally, emotionally. They feel the pain and they feel the pleasures that are put forth in the movie. The script has an impact on anyone that's intently involved in watching the movie. Now, let's say we are thinking about something at a higher level than just our life being announced on the radio, but it's tuned into station KOG, Kingdom of God, and it's announcing things about God and heaven and perfection. And it announces that we are the image and likeness of God and that we reflect all the beautiful things that God is, all of His qualities. We experience those in our daily life. And the other is really portraying something very different, erratic, chaotic, good and evil, all mixed up in one confusion bag of tricks. Obviously, everyone would like to have a life of goodness. But how do they define goodness? Everybody defines it according to their own desires, based on their background and what makes what they think feel good, gives them pleasure, maybe gives them stability, or maybe they're an adventurous person and they want something that gives them a sense of excitement and adventure and discovering new things. This is a very important topic. Do we want to be enslaved, even though it means we get satisfied from a human level that the other person's going to have a death sentence, maybe in prison and went through a trial and he's on death row, and on a certain date they're going to be ending his life? And then we can say, okay, that guy got exactly what he deserved. How do you even know what he deserved? How do you even know if the trial brought forth the right facts? Did it bring all the truth? Was it the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or was it just a selective amount based on how sharp or evil the attorneys might be? The court systems are all corrupt today. They actually sell the cases to the highest bidder. And then the judge rules based on what they're supposed to rule, based on the highest bidder that bid for the case. And all the prisons are privately owned. So there's profit. There's a profit motive to put everybody in prison. We have something like a 99% conviction rate. Everyone goes to prison because it's a profit-making venture of the people invested in the prison system. There's nothing fair or equitable about it whatsoever. It is a whole fraud from beginning to end. It's like impossible not to be convicted because they convict 99 out of 100. Everybody couldn't be guilty. Even Hitler only had a 97% conviction rate. We have a 99. We have to decide whether we want to be enslaved to a material sense of life so that we can get human satisfaction from someone else getting a death sentence and ending their life, or whether we want freedom by following the golden rule. Suppose the guy's innocent. The golden rule would set him free if it were used, if it were respected, if the truth were respected. The truth is not respected in the justice system of the United States and most other countries. Instead of being justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, it is just us. J-U-S-T, and then U-S. Just us. In other words, the ones that are going to benefit with money based on how the outcome of the court is, that's a different story than if it's unbiased and objective court of law with honest judges and honest juries, and that all the facts are known to all the parties involved. That's not happening in America. The whole court system is a fraud. The whole political system. The governor of California that supposedly is making all these rotten laws where they can send parents to prison if you object to the school changing the sex of their children. And he's not even alive. He was executed for treason like 3 years ago. And people accept what he says as if he were real. But he's an actor. He's an actor. The President of the United States is an actor. He's not the real person. The Governor of Michigan, an actor. The Mayor of Chicago, an actor. Two Supreme Court judges are actors. They've been executed for treason. The whole jury of one of the cases in Colorado, they're all actors. They've all been sent down to Gitmo, to prison. The judge, same thing. Most of the judges that were involved in the fraudulent court system, courts, you know, lawsuits against Trump, they all got a free trip down to Gitmo, which is our military prison. They were all involved in the fraud. You have no idea how many people are no longer alive that have actors that are showing up. Because the deep state that controls the media, most of the media, they want to continue having control of the United States, and so they don't admit to them using actors, when in fact the people making the decisions are not the ones that are talking. The ones that are talking have nothing to do with any authority. They're only being paid as an actor to say what they're supposed to say. They even, some of them even wear an earpiece where they hear word by word what they're supposed to say as they're talking to someone. Someone will make a comment to them, and you know that will be heard by the ones controlling the actor, and then the actor tells them what he's being told to say. Live. So do we want to be enslaved? Or do we want to be free? Do we want to be cluttering up our consciousness with the life or death of somebody that is deemed to be a criminal? Or do we want to say that that's out of our pay grade? In other words, God is the only one with the pay grade that can make that decision. And God doesn't even know about criminals. It's His laws that make the decision. All one has to do is compare what the truth is and compare it to God's laws, such as the Golden Rule or the two greatest commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That covers every commandment. That covers everything that we need to know for guiding us in the right direction down the path, the infinite path, or the path of infinite progression, pointing toward concrete being. I can tell you one thing. If you make the right choice, you will save a lot of time that you otherwise might spend. And I say spend, which means it's not invested. It's just the time is lost. And that is, if you're spending time following all the news, to see who is going to be alive and who's going to be dead, who's going to be guilty, who's going to be innocent, what they did, and how does it affect you. Most people are spending 3-4 hours a day either playing video games if they're kids, teenager type. In fact, a lot of adults do it. So we're talking 3-5 hours a day. Playing games or listening and watching the news or being on social media, intercommunicating by text or video with friends or family. Mary Baker Eddy says, forget about getting together with other people to study Christian Science. She said, everybody has to work out their own salvation. You might be discussing Christian Science for extended periods of time every day with other people. Unless, of course, if you're in the practice and you feel that's the right way that you should be proceeding with your patients, that's an individual decision. If you're successful with your healing, then you're probably doing something right. If you're not successful, then you better go back to the blueprint and figure out what's wrong. We have everything anyone needs in order to have a successful Christian Science practice, if that's what they want to be involved in. We give you detailed instructions on how to heal anything there is. Anything. And we have something like 450 or 475 healings that are the last 101 pages in the textbook of Christian Science, which is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, that prove that what we're telling you is true. And of course, we've embellished on what was stated 115 or 20 or 30 years ago because we have newer technology. We can do a lot of things with study tools that were not available even 25 or 30 years ago. They weren't available, let alone back in the late 1800s or early 1900s. But we have the formula that will enable you to heal anything that there is, any problem there is, if you have the discipline to follow it. Richard Strain was at the end of his rope. He was getting nowhere fast, going around in circles. He was exhausted all the time. He finally went to a practitioner and said, "I don't know how to do it, but I've got a big problem and I can't seem to get out of the hole." So she listened to his tale of woes, and then she had one thing to say, because he had said that he had, out of the 24 hours a day, he had 18 hours devoted to this, that, and the other. So there was only 6 hours left to sleep and eat and transportation to and from work. The other 18 hours was taken out of every 24. So she knew what to do. And she said, "How much are you studying?" I mean, he was silent. He didn't know how to respond. He finally said, "Well, you know, I've told you what my schedule is. I don't have any time to study. No, I don't study at all. I don't see how I could. Everything I'm doing seems to be a necessity for the day. I come home, I'm exhausted. So anyway, she said, "If you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to get on the path of progress. You're not going to be able to get out of your hole." He was stunned. He was stunned. He didn't know what to do. She said how to solve his problem. He's thinking, "Well, there's no hours to do it." She says nothing else. And she only says it once. So he has to figure it out on his own. Number one, does he want to do it? Number two, will he do it? Number three, will he keep it up? Well, the bottom line is, he finally said, "Okay, I'm going to do it. He didn't say maybe or, you know, maybe I'll try it. No, he said, I'm going to do it. I am going to do it. He reported into her that by the end of the week, he was able to get the regular amount of sleep he needed because everything else took less time than it was taking before he started 5 hours a day study. Everything in his schedule became more smoothly and productive. So do we want to grab onto the new adventure? Do we want to liberate ourselves? Or do we want to stay enslaved? Are you aware that Mary Baker Eddy stated about the Lord's Prayer that it was the only prayer that Jesus gave the world? And if we understood the spiritual sense of it, that we could heal anything instantaneously. Now, I don't know whether you realize what the word understood or understand means, but it means you've proven it for yourself. It means you made it your own. You just didn't read a few words and expect the miracle to happen. I didn't mention this, but Bicknell Young, the same one that was drowned and came back to life, and the one that realized that the one and only mind of God is his mind. But he had people that were in business that used to come to him frequently to help him heal the problems in their business. He had to send them home without doing anything for them. Why? They knew nothing about how to run their business. They would be involved in a business, whether they bought it or started it from scratch, whatever. They didn't know how to run it. They didn't know what it took to be a businessman. And yet they were expecting Christian Science to help them. Christian Science helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. If we're not willing to put forth any effort to learn what it is we're doing, we're not going to get any help from God. Mary Baker Eddy said that the reason Jesus was able to be so divine was because he was able to demonstrate everything there was to demonstrate about being human. In other words, he lived love. He was kind and gentle, forgiving. He was helping everybody. He wanted to make everybody happy. He wanted to make everybody whole if they had a problem. Often he did ask them, do you believe that you can be healed? Do you have faith that God can heal you? And in Galilee, where he was born, supposedly, the belief of human birth, they didn't have much faith in him. So he didn't spend much time there. They thought of him as a boy or as a carpenter because that's where he spent, you know, most of his life, as being a carpenter. His adult life, at least. That's what they knew him as being. But people that didn't know him, then they gave him an opportunity to show them and explain to them and talk to them and teach them. And as a result, they received healing. We have to expect results. We cannot expect results if we don't do our part. God gives us the chalkboard and the chalk. This is in the old days before they had computers. But He doesn't work out the solution. He gives us the tools, and we have to work out our own solution. We have to apply the principle of what we're doing and follow God's laws. Then, if we come to a point where we're stuck, we have to go back to the drawing board and say, am I following the principle in this, this, and this part of the subject? Do I know what I'm doing? How am I thinking? Am I thinking intelligently? Am I using the mind of God to do my thinking? Or am I trying to just rely on a brain that is obviously very limited because it's based on matter? Am I thinking with a spiritual or a material animus? Am I doing my seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling spiritually or materially? We have a series of treatments on the five spiritual senses. And right now there's an announcement in the header. So you click one button and you're right there on the page that explains all about the five spiritual senses. We need to be using the five spiritual senses. We give you all the details. We've done the research. We teach you how to pray. We teach you how to have healings. We give you specific instructions on how you can heal anything. If you will follow, if you will have the discipline, but you have to put forth the effort. And if you want to be able to heal everything, you've got to live it. You can't just spend 15 minutes a day saying some short prayer and expect that to do it. Are you a giver or a taker? The Bible says we should tithe. Tithe means a tenth part. That means we should give away 10% of our gross income, 10% of our assets, 10% of our time, 10% of our effort. 24 hours in a day. Are we spending 2.4 hours? Well, no, not 2.4, but it'd be, 2 hours and 24 minutes. Well, actually, that is just about 2.4, because 4 would be 24 minutes. Yeah, okay. By coincidence, it is 2.4. But are we spending 2 hours and 24 minutes? That's the average. Do you want to just be average? You want to be a C student? Or you want to be a B student or an A student or an A plus student? You want to be able to heal everything? Well, you're not going to be an average student if you do that. You better be talking about 30, 40%. You probably better be talking about 5 hours a day. But is it worth it? Hardly anyone you ever meet can do it. Not because it's not possible, but because they won't put forth the effort. They'll spend 2, 3, 4, 5 hours on watching cable TV or playing video games or watching something else on TV or wasting time or watching movies or whatever. America is obese. Well, not only America, the whole planet Earth. Almost everyone is overweight. No one cares about being fit. I mean, you got to be fit everywhere. You have to have discipline with everything you do. And they're putting so much poison in the foods and they have so many things that are addictive because they're putting in chemicals that make you want to have more. And with videos and cable and everything, they've got this subliminal advertising. So you're being erroneously influenced and don't even realize it. They've been doing that for ever since television came out 75 years ago. Look at all the stuff they're spraying up in the atmosphere. It's all fraudulent. It's all chemicals. It's genocide. The desire of the corrupt people are trying to reduce the population by 94%. They want to cut an $8.3 billion population dollar. $8.3 billion population of people down to 500 million. Yeah, $8.3 billion down to 500 million. They want to have a 94% reduction in the number of people that are alive. And that's what all these pandemics are about. They jab you with stuff to kill you. So, we've got our work to do. Mary Baker Eddy prophesied that we would be right where we are. She said, if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we will have another Dark Ages that will be longer and more severe than anything civilization has ever known. Why? Because everyone had the tools when she left this planet in 1910, 115 years ago. We had the tools, but did we use it? Nope, we didn't. We took the easy path, everything was rosy and fine, except for they put us into war after war after war, because that's how they make all their money. Their money laundering. The money laundering of the companies that make all the military equipment. And of course, the people that vote for war, they've never been in war. You know, there are these fat cats in Congress. They've never been in war, but they vote for you to go to war. Yeah, and you lose your family and your sons and daughters. Well, not so much women, although there are a lot of women in there now. Follow the money. That tells you where the corruption is, or the sex, or the drugs. Yeah, child trafficking. That's why we have so many people coming across the border. It's for child trafficking. Well, it's coming to a screeching halt. Today is December the 12th, and Trump is due to be inaugurated on January the 20th. So, a month and 8 days. You know what? 38 days, 39 days. There have been a lot of people that have been drained from the swamp. A lot of the cabinet members of this fake administration that is being run by actors. Many of them. Some of the top people in the drug companies have been sent to their last breath at Gitmo, our military prison and goodbye place. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes, if you know where to get the information, which we do, and we've made a lot of announcements on the website. We've analyzed how evil operates. We've given you links on where you can get some of this information. And you can always send us a message. Give us your number and we'll call you if you're in the U.S. And if not, then you can communicate with us through one of the instant messaging services that has free audio in our telephone service. We have a wonderful opportunity, but we have to make the decision. Forget about following the death of someone else or whether or not they're caught or whatever. We need to do our work to know that God is in control of everything, and our business is to be in control of our own consciousness and to know that God is in control. And we have to follow the golden rule. Frederick L. Rawson said, "Our duty on this earth is to make other people happy." What would happen if everybody had that as their motive? Take one person. I want to make one person happy today. I might make 20 or 100 people happy by just smiling if I'm in an area that has a lot of people and I'm walking down the street. Well, I might make 100 people happy by just smiling when I'm walking. Do we have a reason to smile? Are you kidding? We've got all the tools. We've got all the tools. And the formulas. We give you the formulas and the tools. We have everything that gives us the ability to make other people happy and to heal any problem there is, period. All inclusive. It's up to us if we want to do it, or if we just want to watch television or cable news or play a video game or, you know, whatever we do spend our time doing when we're not working or sleeping. There's lots of hours that we're probably, even if we're working hard, there's probably lots of hours that we're not at work. If Richard Strain, who had an 18-hour day schedule without studying, can study 5 hours a day, so can you. So can I. So can anyone that has the desire. We have to have the desire. Then we can make that choice that we don't want to be enslaved, but we want freedom. We don't want to be concerned about whether someone else is going to be convicted for treason and go to their last goodbye. If that's what we're going to be focusing on, then that's how we decide to spend our time. But you can't expect to have results and have freedom because you're enslaving yourself. We are the master of our own destiny based on how we spend the time in what we think, say, and do, period. We can do it. We have the ability to do it. So what are we going to do? It's an individual decision. I am very grateful for everyone whom I have received inspiration from, whether it was from a phone call, whether it was from reading a book or listening to an audio, whether it was practicing how to inspire my own consciousness by following what other people found was successful methods, whether it was Habakkuk, who said, "God is of purer eyes than to behold evil," which tells us right out that any storm or earthquake or anything that is chaotic, accident, or anything else is not God's doing. And we've got a God that we can line up with if we want to, that is a good God, that is all intelligent, all wise, all knowing. I'm grateful for the definitions of God. No one else was able to do that except Mary Baker Eddy. She was open to being led by God. She said that she was a scribe under orders. She's not the author of science and health. God is the author of science and health. God is the author of Christian science. All she did was discover how Jesus healed. And she was open to the inspiration and the truth that flowed through her because she was ready to receive it. She'd tried everything in the book to heal herself because she was born very frail. She missed most of her school years, and yet she ended up being one of the most educated people in the world. She supposedly had a vocabulary that was second only to the master himself, which was Noah Webster, as expressed in his 1828 dictionary. She did it all in her own education, basically. Very little from school. She started Christian Science when you could not vote or own property as a woman. Einstein said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. Discovered what? He said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. He referred to science and health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Blessed art thou, he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy. He said, science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. And what do you think Christian Science gives us? It gives us science and religion. The only religion in the world that is based on science. The only religion in the world that is based on science. Christian Science is based on science. The science of how Jesus healed and the religion of how he lived his life. The Golden Rule. And that's exactly what the 700-page textbook is of science and health, tells you how to do both. We hold you by the hand. We teach you how to do it. It's up to you to make it your own and to become an avid student of the truth. Then you will be able to say, I'm not going to be enslaved. I want freedom, and I'm going to learn how to get it, and I'm going to live my life the way I need to in order to get it. And I'm not going to worry about whether or not somebody that killed someone else or committed treason or election fraud or anything else, because I'm going to keep my thought on God and reflecting God's qualities. And I'm not going to spend an hour or two or 3 or 4 hours a day tracking what everyone else is doing to see if the guilty ones got caught. And if they're having their last goodbye down at Gitmo. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to devote my time to being on the path of infinite progression because I want to be heading toward concrete being. God is infinite, and I want a piece of it. God is good. I want to be reflecting the goodness of God. God is harmonious. I want to have a harmonious life. Okay. Are we a giver or a taker? We put up something on Monday. So just go to our daily topics and go to Monday's date. And it's right up there on the right-hand side near the top. It says, remember that when you leave this earth, you can take nothing that you have received, but only what you have given. A full heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. Think about that. You can only take with you what you have given. In other words, we don't deplete when we give. We multiply. We multiply. When we take, we absorb and deplete. We deplete our own character. We deplete our own assets. We increase our liabilities. Because when we receive, we increase our debt to the world. When we give, we increase our credit. And if we leave this earth with a big, huge credit, we take it with us. Our debt, we cannot take. So we better be spending our time giving instead of receiving. Giving. Do we want to just be average and give 10%? Remember, that's 10% of everything. Not just 10% of your gross income, is 10% of everything. 10% of your time, 10% of your talent. Can you share your talent with somebody that could use it? How about your food, shelter, clothing, cars? You have an extra car? You have extra clothing? Anything, everything. Share everything. Look for ways to give what you have to someone else that has a need for it. And wherever possible, give it anonymously. Because if we're giving to receive an ego boost or a big thank you or to get something back, we're not giving. We're taking. We're taking. Giving is giving without ever expecting to be repaid. There's a movie I highly recommend everybody watch. It's called Pay It Forward. I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but it's very worthwhile watching. Pay It Forward. Just like it sounds. PAYITFORWARD. Pay It Forward. Extremely worthwhile movie. Another one that is a great one, although it's got a little bit of rough language in it, as I recall, haven't seen it for many years, but it's called Stand and Deliver. Stand and Deliver. It's about a man that was a successful aerospace engineer, and he felt a need for people in the low-income area of the city, and this happened to be in Los Angeles. They needed to equalize themselves with other people. And he was an expert at mathematics, including calculus. Of course, that's not the highest level. That's just one of the basics for people that are engineers. But he felt that math was an equalizer. And if you knew mathematics, forget what color your skin was, forget what your background was. He was in a heavy Mexican area. He said, that will equalize it. You'll be able to get a job anywhere. They won't care what the color of your skin is, what your nationality is, or anything else. You will get a job, and you'll get a good paying job. That is a beautiful example of having a goal and not being willing to accept being enslaved because you were a Mexican. In that particular case, they were Mexicans. Could be anything. Now whites are minorities. Could be anything. Black, green, brown, purple, doesn't matter what the color your skin is or what the slit is on your eyes. You know, you could be Asian, whatever, it doesn't matter. But you can equalize yourself with education. He knew math, so he taught them math. You have to watch the movie. Two movies, you're assigned two fun projects, two fun things. Pay it forward and stand and deliver. You will remember those movies forever. In fact, it's a good idea to watch them once in a while to remind yourself. And another thing, we have a video that's about 3 or 4 minutes long. It's called How Big Is Your Problem? It's in the menu. Just go to the menu, top left corner. How big is your problem? That's another one everyone should watch once a month. Yep. I'm giving you some real treasures. These are pearls of beyond price. We have to be grateful. We have to give. We have to be a big giver. Big giver. No one is ever tired of having someone around them when they are a giver. They don't want you to go home. They don't want you to leave their house if you are a giver. Okay? You will never wear out your welcome if you are a giver. Never, ever, ever. The other thing you want to do is you want to reinforce the idea that any truth that you learned from your prayer, your recordings, I won't tell you what to do, but we have on our website how to heal everything, and you are really cheating yourself. It's a button in the header, which is at the top of every page of the website, how to heal everything. And you should click on it, and you will get our advice on how to heal everything. No exceptions. But it's going to take work. It's not snapping your fingers. Jesus practiced, 25 years before he started his ministry? He was 30 years old before he started his ministry. He worked as a carpenter and he was a boy for 25 years before he was ready to go out there and do what he did. Then he went through the test of the 40 days and nights in the desert. Then he went through the three big temptations from the devil. No, Jesus didn't just wake up one day and all of a sudden he could do everything. Not a chance. And by the way, Jesus is not God. It says that very clearly in the Bible. We have a man that is probably one of the best Bible scholars of all time, next to Mary Baker Eddy. His name is Putnam, Robert C. Putnam. And he was trained by Bliss Knapp, and Bliss Knapp from around the age of 7 or 8 years old until Mary Baker Eddy left this earth was under his tutelage. He did not spend any time on investments, but when he passed on, he had an estate of $400 million. That was because he demonstrated it. He demonstrated it. And he was the teacher of Robert C. Putnam. So, by all means, I recommend you go to Putnam in the Author Index and read his 169-page book on the Bible. Now, it's a lot misleading when I say 169 pages, because 169 pages is an index and a summary of all the key people and all the key thoughts from the Bible, from beginning to end. But you might have to read 100 pages before you're qualified to read one of his pages. And everything that he gives you to read is from the Bible itself. But he did a beautiful job of summarizing it in 169 pages. So anyway, if you click on the button that says How to Heal Everything, and if you're interested in really becoming a Bible expert, then you've got to study him. And Mary Baker Eddy herself said that to better understand science and health, you really need to study all 16 of her other books. Most of them are small, but some of them are 300 or 400 pages. So, if you want to heal everything, we can tell you how to do it. And if you have any doubt, all you have to do is go and read the last 101 pages of the textbook. And there's 85 people that are testifying to something like 475 different healings that they had. So each one of them had 5 or 6 or 7 healings. They were looking for one thing to be healed. And they had everything in their life healed. They had to be reminded they had the problem. They got so involved in studying the textbook that the problem ended up being not a problem. So we have the tools. We have the proof that what we tell you works. It's up to you to do something about it. But always be grateful for what truth that you learn every time you study. And then you should end with something that's really good. And I'm going to end by reading to you a treatment by Mary Baker Eddy on the subject of truth. Okay, she has, these are called Diapason of Heaven. And she taught them only to her metaphysical college classes. They're the only ones that had access to this. So I will read it to the one on truth. And you can look at all of them by just going to the header and clicking on it. And it's under the title of Diapason of Heaven for 7 Terms for God. And here's the one for truth. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the Word of God. Amen.